Well, Alma, why don't you go ahead and open us up in prayer?
Alma, hold on, Alma. Don't choke, Alma. Breakfast. You're having breakfast early today. I know you're not used to having breakfast early. Go ahead.
Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you that we're all here this morning. We're all here early this morning, Lord. We just thank you for today. We thank you for Ray and for his taking time to prepare this for us, Lord. And we just ask your blessing over it, Lord, and just prepare us for to go to worship, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alma. We appreciate you being here early today and make sure that we all knew that. Amen. Well, let me bring my eyes out here so I can see. Can anybody see that pretty good up there? Good. It's just a little video I'll show a little bit later. I know, right? The teaching I'm doing today is false prophets. And we've heard of a few of those. I'm sure that either online or somewhere or another, we've heard of false prophets. And in order to understand what false prophet, first of all, we're going to understand what the word false means. It means incorrect, untrue, wrong, erroneous, flawed, distorted, inaccurate, and fictitious. Right? That's a lot for one small word, false. Prophet. I just got to hear a small one, a small description, and I'm sure there's a lot more to it, but it says a person who speaks for God or a deity or by divine inspiration. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says this, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Now, I thought about that for a little bit, and in my walk with Christ, I've seen a lot of people like that. You know, I saw them at the church, and I'm talking about when I was younger, and I saw them at the church, you know, giving a prophetic word or up there, you know, ministering or something like that. And then a couple of days later, I would see them again or he'd be in a conversation with somebody. And I would hear these words that come out of his mouth. And I'm going like, how is it that 3 days ago, this guy was given a prophetic word and he was up there preaching and doing all this and that. And now, he's not living what he was preaching. Right? And it says here, watch out for false prophets. The King James and the Amplified Version says this way. Beware of false prophets. Beware means to be alert, to discern what is being said. False prophets take advantage of the fact that many people are not well educated in fundamental biblical truths. To detect a counterfeit, one must first know what the original one looks like. I think Pastor Don gave a teaching on that one time. You know, I think it was on a $100 bill or something like that, and how, you know, how would you know what a fake one looks like? Well, first you'd have to know what a real one looks like. It is impossible to gain a clear picture of absolute truth without going directly to God's word, unless one is firmly grounded in God's word and led by his spirit, one can be easily astray. Now, the pastors have been telling us, at least from the time I've been here, that is so important in our walk to make sure that we not only read the Bible, right? Because there is a difference between reading the Bible and studying God's word. There's a big difference. There's a lot of people that can read the Bible frontwards and backwards, right? But they don't study the word. They don't get into it. What does it mean? You know, and I've been fortunate enough that with my job, I have the time to sometimes kind of get away and be here for the Bible studies. And thank God for that because, you know, I've learned a few things, believe it or not. I'm a work in progress. I've learned a few things. You know, and thank God for that. I tell you what, I encourage you. If you have the time on a Thursday to break away from whatever you're doing, to be here at 1 o'clock, be here. I encourage you 100% to be here. Pastor Don and Bob do a fantastic job of breaking out. There's times that we go 2 weeks with one verse. Seriously, 2 weeks on one verse, you know? But I tell you what, they go ahead and grab that one verse, because that one verse can be so important. One word can be very important. So they take the time to study that and to show us exactly what that is and what does it mean. So it's very important that we just not read God's word, that we study God's word. Because by studying God's word, okay, it's how we're going to be able to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, so that when we hear something that just doesn't make sense, okay, we'll know, because we've heard our pastors and we've dug into the word, okay, to know that when somebody says something, you get, that just doesn't sound right. Right? The Bible says this is what he did and this is what he said. So when somebody comes along and says, well, this is what he really meant. No, no, no. I read the word and I studied the word, and this is exactly what God said. This is exactly what he meant. But if we don't know that, if we don't study the word and if we don't get into his word, we won't know that. And somebody can just come and tell us anything that they want to know, or I mean, want to say, and people will believe it. People will believe anything. I tell you what, the world out there is desperate. They're desperate. Okay? And if anybody goes out there and they make it sound very pretty and very nice and it's all just wonderful and peachy, okay, to a lot of people, that's great. That's Christianity. That's the way it's supposed to be. And the false prophet will tell them anything. And if they don't know any better, they will believe every single word that person says.
It just seems that we're more apt to believe a lie than the truth. You ever try to, sometimes you know something is right, you're trying to explain to somebody, and they just won't hear it. Even though you know it's the truth, that you're late, oh, no, oh, no, that ain't right. But you could tell them the biggest lie in the world, and, well, that could be, yeah, yeah.
How many of us, you know, and it's something simple, but it's very true, pulled over by the police? Come on, I wasn't the only one that was pulled over by the police. Really? I'm the only one that was pulled over by the police? Okay. All right. And we know that that light was red. You saw it turn red. What do we tell the officer? That it was what?
Yellow.
It was yellow.
Don't ever tell him that. Because on your ticket, you get the same fine for going through a yellow light.
It is. It is. It is, right? That's a false statement that we just made. We know the truth. That light was actually red. Okay, but we want to go ahead and justify it and say, no, that light was yellow. Okay? Now, the officer knows the truth. That what? You ran a light. Regardless, if it was yellow or red, you ran through a light. Right? Let's show that video real quick. Or it. Now, I'll show you before you do that, I'll show you this quick video, and I'll tell you what, I kind of saw this, and I as I doing my teaching, I went through a lot of them, and I tell you what, it was so, so sad to see a lot of people talk and preach some stuff that it makes absolute no sense. And the sad part about it is a lot of people sitting there listening to this, and you know what, and they're going to believe what they say.
I think you said a very important thing. We laugh at these and stuff, but it's really sad. These people are reaching other people. That's sad. We may think it's funny, but it's only because we know the truth. The people that don't really buy into this.
Yes.
I want you to go to the phone, dial the number on the screen, and simply say, I'm one of the 1,000. I'm going to faith in somehow in 90 days a $1,000 seed. You may already have the 1,000. It may be something you put aside for retirement or a college or a vacation. You may have put some money aside that nobody knows about, and God's given you a picture. It may be in the bottom of your closet, maybe in a sock, maybe between your mattresses. It may be an account that nobody knows about, but you and God. That's not your harvest. That $1,000 won't get you anywhere until God touches it. Everything.
In fact, I have a feeling that somebody watching me right now, I have a feeling that somebody that wants a credit card debt wiped out, that if you'll use your faith as you sow the $1,000 on a credit card, as you use your faith, as you use your faith, God's going to wipe out your credit card indebtedness. It is done.
For a second.
You know, a lot of these guys are teaching you, God will wipe out your credit. Well, how about, can't God wipe out his credit? You know, he's raising money to get out of what?
Debt
to pay his bills. And then you think, well, who's he sowing his money into? Well, that's right. You know, you know his ministry is so important. But this guy here, and I can't remember his last name, but there's actually a YouTube video of a neighbor kid that ripped him off and wrote a book about what was going on at this guy's house, and, you know, all these big shot TBN people coming in there, and, I mean, it was crazy. And he drove a car through his front gate. Stole a safe out of his house, took it out to the desert. He never pressed charges because it was filled with cocaine and everything else. Oh, these guys are crazy. Yeah, but, oh, yeah, yeah. So I can't remember what his name is, but he does a lot of the financial, you know, advice, and it's always send him money. So, but, yeah, you see these guys, and you think this, well, if I have send money to you to get out of debt, why are you asking for money? Why aren't you trusting God to get you out of debt? You know, and it just shows you the hypocrisy of these guys.
Yeah, well, he said, again, remember, did you hear that? He said he has a feeling. I got a feeling that if you give $1,000, okay, that somehow your debt of about $20,000 or $30,000 is going to be wiped out. Go ahead.
Newspapers have flown helicopters over my house, taking pictures of my house. I didn't know how nice it was till I saw how my enemies saw it. And when I saw what they were looking at, I said, wow, I am blessed. I am blessed. I didn't know how good God had been to me.
Your $1,000 cannot reproduce until it enters into a covenant with the soil.
His soil.
You can put that $1,000. Just the other day I like new money. I don't know if you do, but I hate old money that's wrinkled and dirty and got all the diseases on it. I like new money. And when I give things to people, I like to give stacks of money. It's fun. You ever had a stack of new money? Have you? You have it? Have you?
A little stack.
A little? Oh. And so I made, you know, the big stack where it was brand new, and I like brand new money. I don't want any money around me that's not. I'd almost rather have a new one than an old 20. Now that's kind of dumb, isn't it? But there's something about new money that excites you. You like $100 bills?
Oh yeah, I like new money too.
Oh, most beautiful thing on earth is a $100 bill. I hadn't seen a woman as good looking as a $100 bill. There's something about a $100 bill that excites you. So anyway, I gave it to her just because I did to my sister. She took off the other day for somewhere, and so as she went to leave, and I went out to her, and her and her husband, I said, sis, I just want to give you a stack of money just to feel good, just stroke it. And he said, we don't give to get something back. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. A man came to me and said, Brother Mike, when I give to God, I expect nothing in return. I said, I wrote a little song for you.
This is the sad part.
How dumb thou art. How dumb thou art.
Like I said before, the sad part about it is a lot of people believe him. You know why? Because they don't dig into the Word. They don't go ahead and make sure that everything that's said is backed up by God's Word. Pastor Don and Pastor John and our elders always tell us that even the things that they teach us, to make sure you go into your Word at home. They tell us that. When you get home, take the time and get into your Word and see that everything that we said correlates with God's Word. Because if it doesn't, okay, then something's wrong. It has to be backed up by God's Word. And how will we know if it's backed up? How will we know that? We have to make sure that we get into God's Word. That's key. Yes.
Who watches these,
yes,
this nonsense? Christians.
Yes.
And they'll open their Bible and they'll go to the section of Scripture that he's reading about, you know, sowing. It's taken out of context, and that's the problem. Is, yeah, they'll open their Word, but once again, rightly dividing the Word is so important.
Yes.
And that's why the Bible, I remember Bob telling the story when, you know, the con school, and the first thing they said was, get yourself a Bible, because people just believe you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so important. That's, and I said this last week, I said it again, that's why we have the library upstairs, having that, so we have so many books in that people can come in and reference, and or even come in and just sit down with the pastor. We're more than happy. Not that we're always right, but before we speak authoritatively, say, let's find out what the Word of God has to say.
Amen.
But you use a little bit of that Word. It's a powerful thing, like that book of Eli. Remember that?
Yes.
And a guy says, it's only a book. And the guy smacks him and goes, it ain't a book. It's a weapon. I can control people with it, you know? And that's exactly what these guys are doing. It's a manipulation, but it's a very subtle thing. It clothes itself like the wolves in the sheep clothing. That's what these guys are.
Amen. Amen. I got just three questions, and again, this is just something I kind of wrote down. Three questions we need to ask ourselves, I guess. It's one is a different source. Where does their message come from? The true prophet's source should be the Bible, God's holy word, and not stories he made up himself or of himself. Okay? So it needs to come from God's word. The second one is different message. What is the substance of the message? For the true preacher prophet, Jesus Christ should be central. A false prophet or teacher will tell you how other people can help change your life. But if you listen carefully, you will notice that Jesus Christ is not essential in his message or her message. So in other words, they'll go up there and they'll sound real good. And they'll make everything sound very nice and very pleasing. But if we listen again carefully, you'll start noticing that Christ is nowhere in that message. It all became about how if you go to Brother John or if you go to Sister Anna over here, okay, or if you come to the church over here to specific people, and the whole message is about people. Nowhere in the message do they mention Christ. And if they do, it's for a split second. Okay?
And they're talking about the whole, what he was talking about there, he was telling you how to manipulate God. Well, if you do this, God has to do that. God can do what God wants to do because he's God, right? All we're supposed to be is obedient to the word. I agree that we don't necessarily look for the outcome, right? There are promises that we can hold on to, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about pure witchcraft manipulation.
Amen. It says here, the third one, different fruit. What results did the message have in your life? A true believer is effective and productive in his or her knowledge of Jesus Christ. The counterfeit or the counterfeiter is like a spring without water. They promise much but do very little. You know, this guy, like Pastor Don said, this guy is out there, you know, saying, well, I want your $1,000 to clear your debt. Well, where's his faith? Right? Who's his source? Who's he going to? That he needs to ask everybody else to put $1,000 on their credit Because then after that, their credit will be clear. So he's not actually practicing what he preaches, is he? Because he's telling us to use our faith to put $1,000 on a credit card. Well, why doesn't he use his faith to pray to God and say, God, I need you to wipe out my debt. What do I need to do to be a good steward? To make sure that my finances are in order. Bless you. Right? To make sure my finances are in order. All right? So that God can use him how God wants to use him. It's always easier for some of these guys to go ahead and ask everybody else to give. And they're not willing to do anything themselves. They're showing on there one of the other ones. They showed his, you know, $6.2 million mansion. And then he told the church that he also needed to get around a little bit easier. So they got him a $20 million plane. Right? Because he said that'll help him get around a little bit better.
Hold on. Help him collect money faster. I'm
sorry. Yeah. You know, that's the latest status symbol for these guys. A new airplane. I mean, they all have one. It's crazy. No, yeah. Yeah. In fact, that guy, not Copeland, but the other guy, Mike, I can't remember his last name. No. But anyways, he had a plane, went on there, I need a new one, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he had an upgrade. And it's like they try to, you know, like these billionaires, you know, getting the latest and newest yacht bigger than the other one. It's just crazy. And, you know, how many people, they line up at, and they take this stuff in. And you wonder why our nation is in the condition it is when the people of God are in the condition they are.
Amen.
Hold on.
Everybody forgot about Jim Baker. Nobody talks about him anymore. Well, he's still preaching again, but and I just think it was the biggest. He's another, what's that guy, Bernie's investment people.
Yeah.
That cheated all. He's the same thing. But nobody thought, you know, this guy here, he's got to be healthy because he sells the holy water from the Jordan that'll cure cancer. And he sells a piece of cloth for $1,000 come from one of God's robes. You know,
these guys. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, especially
Jim
this
Baker
guy right
didn't,
here.
I mean, these guys, you know, Jim Baker was like minor league compared to these guys. These guys are incredible.
These guys actually have turned it around and become pros at conning people, which is what they are.
And they never, if you've ever watched this guy, he always has testimonies on there. And it's always how they got money, how they got healed by something they did for him. Nowhere is it talk about going out and reaching people, touching people, helping people, saving people, right? No. It's all about what you can get, and that's what he's playing off of. That's what we all want. That's the same people that line up and get a lottery ticket, run back home to watch him.
It's sad, but they showed us one of these clips, this lady, for years and years and years and years, out of her life savings, she kept sending money to this one guy. Now, when she ended up getting diagnosed with cancer, do you think he went by to see her on his new $20 million jet? Not one visit, not one phone call to a person that had been donating to his cause or his calling for years and years and years. He didn't take not 5 minutes to go visit one of his sheep. 5 minutes. And this guy, not only did he get one plane, he has a fleet. And he got so big that he says, you know what? I'm traveling too far from my house to the airport. So he built an airport down the street from his house. It's convenient, right? But again, that's sad. That a lot of people will go ahead and believe this because they just don't know the truth. Okay? They don't take the time, like Pastor Nas said, to go into dig the word and truly understand what God's word is saying. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, flying in an airplane is unscriptural anyways. Because the Bible says, lo, I am with you always.
I think we need to look that one up. But yes, look like that.
I got here. Are we just to accept every time someone says they heard from God? For you to do something, go somewhere, or to give. And I got a few things here, and I looked these up because it was just, you know, and like Bob said, some of this it sounds funny, but there's a truth to it. And the truth is that we need to study our word. That we need to make sure that everything that we hear is backed up by God's word. Okay? And like I said, on Thursdays, if you have the time, I encourage you to be here. Okay? Because many times Bob and Pastor Don have said, you know what? You need to know who he's referencing to. Who is he talking at that time? When did this happen? There's a lot into it to just grabbing the Bible and opening it up and just reading it. There's a lot to it. I used to be one of those ones that used to think, well, if I read my word, I'm good. I'll know everything. No. You need to know exactly what is going on at that time. Who the people are you talking to. All that is very important in studying God's word. That's why it says to study it, not just to read it. We agree on that one? I got here real quick. I got these things that I looked up, and I thought it would be interesting. A little funny, but it's sad to say that a lot of people believe this. March 31st, 1998, about 150 followers of the Twinese Christian Buddhist spiritual sect have moved into Garland, Texas, a suburb of northern Dallas, to await God's arrival on March 25th. God is expected to broadcast a commercial on Channel 18 in Garland. He will then be reincarnated into a man on March 31st at 10 o'clock in the morning, local time. They expect to draw a crowd of about 1 million who want to be touched by God. Their leader, Ho Ming Cheng, selected Garland because it sounds like Godland. And believe it or not, a lot of people will be there. Those that don't know the truth will be there. We know who the truth is. God is our truth. His word is truth. But it's sad that a lot of people are going to run there to wait to be touched by God on that day. Because this guy said specific dates and time. And he made sure that he let you know that it was local time. So depending where you're traveling from, East Coast to West Coast, he lets you know that it's their local time to be there. He doesn't want you to miss out. I got one here for the year 2047. In year 2047, on September 14th, according to the Church of Blair, the human race will probably be terminated at 3:28 a.m. Soho, England time. Not our time, Soho, England time. The church teaches with tongue firmly in cheek that if the human race does not discard their plastic conformity, then the gods will withdraw their protection. The gods don't want us to worship them. They don't want sacrifice or even offerings. They just want us to rid itself of our excessive normalcy. At that point, astro lemurs, extraterrestrials similar to lemurs, with rainbow colored bodies, will attack the entire human race and beat them to death with genetic burritos. Well, you food for the earth with pulled pork. Okay. So you see how crazy some of these guys are? It doesn't make any sense. None of that is biblical. None of it. This is some guy. Some people won't believe it and say, I don't want to be beat down by a burrito by some guy that looks like a lemur from outer space. with a rainbow body. So I make sure I'm going to be there and to do everything that this guy says he wants me to do. And a lot of people sat to say, well, join that church and believe every single word this man says.
So many of you weren't around back in the 70s when they had the James, what was the guy down there in Jonestown. Yeah, and we laugh at these guys, and people actually, you know, there was a couple thousand people that moved down there. You got that one? Okay, I won't cut into your, sorry about that.
Right? That's all right.
I was there one time in the 60s. He had, his church was in, I believe it was San Francisco, it was in California. It had a Golden Doors. He was into the faith and money movement at that time in the late 60s. Actually had Golden Doors, and he had two guards standing out front day and night.
Those were good ushers.
They were
armed. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They knew Paul, man of God. But they made sure that they just didn't go by every single word he said. They went back and studied the scriptures to make sure that every single word that Paul uttered was from the scriptures. Not just to say, you know what, this guy sounds pretty good. I believe him. Let's go. Let's do everything he says. Like I said before, Pastor Don and Pastor John, Bob, when they do our teachings, go home, grab your Bible, and study it. Look at the scriptures that they talked about. If you have any questions, come and see them. Don't make the time. You know why? Because they want to make sure that we get God's truth. They take the time to study God's word. And it's up to us to make sure that we get into the word and study it.
That's right.
Right? Because also we're going to know that what they're telling you is or isn't the truth unless we read it and understand it ourselves. So you know what? Yeah, it says it right there in God's word. And this is what he says. You know what, Pastor? I got a question. I didn't understand this part right here. I think I got his name on there.
You're absolutely right. When each one of us, when I stand in front of God and he asks me why I did something, you think it's going to help? Well, Pastor Don said it was the right thing to do. Is that going to help me?
No.
God is holding us accountable. That's why he doesn't just say it's good to do. He commends them for doing it.
Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Maybe at one point they started out pretty good. Maybe at one point when they first started out, they said, this is what God called me to do, and I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. And somewhere down the line, they saw that that money was coming in, and that became their God. That dictated their life and how it's going to live out. On November 18th, 1978, in what became known as the Jonestown Massacre, more than 900 members of an American cult called the People's Temple died in a mass suicide murder under the direction of their leader, Jim Jones. As Jones' congregation grew, estimates of the group size vary. A 1977 exposed by the New West magazine put the number of People's Temple members at about 20,000. Negative reports began to surface about the man referred to as Father. This is by his followers. The death toll at Jonestown in November 18th, 1978 was 990 people, a third of them were children. That's sad. Prior to the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001, the tragedy of Jonestown marked the single largest loss of U.S. civilian lives in a non-natural disaster. 909 people. You know, can you imagine just walking by and seeing 909 people just laying there? Now, that's very sad. That's very sad. As Christians, as true Christians, we want to make sure that that doesn't happen on our watch. That God gave us a command to go out and make sure that we spread the good news. Okay, so that people will want to come in and know that what we have is God's truth. And they want to come in and hear God's truth. And not be deceived by somebody that says that you have to give money or that you have to wait for some monkey to come around painted in green to come talk to you with a burrito. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay?
Was it beef or chicken?
It didn't say, brother. It didn't say.
Oh,
yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. So we are blessed that we have pastors and elders in this church that dig into God's word and encourage us to do the same. Not just stand up and say, look, you got to listen to what I say and that's it. No, they encourage us to dig into the word. That's why they have the Thursday Bible studies. That's why I have teachings like this on Sunday mornings. It should be packed for us to want to dig into God's word, to know God's truth.
And another sad thing, those 900 people didn't fall into that cult. They were out searching. They knew something was missing in their life. We all know that before we were saved, something is missing. Now, we need to make sure that we are there and give them the truth. If they choose not to accept it, but somebody needs to be there and at least give them the truth. And who's that?
Us. Us. And I'll finish up with this real quick here. Again, this isn't in no order, but these is just five reasons why we should study God's word, and there's a lot more than just five reasons, but I just got five. First, the word of God is infallible. There's no error in God's word. The law of the Lord, the law of the Lord is perfect concerning our soul. The testimony of the Lord is not only infallible, it is inherent. That's in Proverbs. You can read about Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5-6. I won't read all that because of time, but if you get a chance, go into that scripture. The second one, the word of God is complete. The Bible does not need any new chapters or verses. It is all given to us already. If you get a chance, read up Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19.
Another good point. Every one of these guys have come that God gave them a new revelation. Something new has been added and it's been given to them.
Amen. Third, the word of God is totally authoritative. And the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 89, says, forever, O Lord, yet your word is settled in heaven. The word of God is the only source of for absolute divine authority. His word, God's not word. Not their word, it's God's word. If God says it, God said it. Who are we to try and change it or tweak it? A lot of people do it for their own benefit. They'll grab a scripture and twist it around for their benefit so they can go around and tell the church they need a $20 million airplane. And guess what? The church got together and did it. They got him that $20 million plane. He needed the airport. They got together and did it. Fourth, God's word is totally sufficient for all our needs. We don't need anything else. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not them. God. It is profitable, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the last one I got here, the fifth one, is the word of God will accomplish what it promises. If God told you something will happen and you wait or we wait, it will happen. You can read in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And the last part again was that when God says something, or do we to question it?
Amen.
It's not up to us to question what God says. What a question what he says. This guy. Some bozo like that, or somebody that comes around with these stories. That's the ones that we should question, and we should go ahead and go to God's word and say, that does not line up with God's word. This guy's baloney. I want nothing to do with him. And I'm walking away. That's what we need to do. Because the world is hungry for the truth.
Yes.
They want to know the truth. Yes. It's not like that movie. I want to know the truth. You can't handle the truth. Okay? We have the truth. We have God on our side. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, Ray. I'm going to throw in one plug. The summer classes that we're having, the very last class is going to be on prophecy. Hopefully not false prophecy. It's going to be on true prophecy. Myself, Ed, and Bobby Ramirez are going to kind of teach that class. So hopefully it'll be a good class. Come out. And Ray showed us what not to believe. Hopefully that class will show us what we can believe and what true prophecy is. Give Ray a hand.
Amen. If Ricardo can close us up in prayer. And don't forget, straight from here, please, downstairs, we have prayer time to start the service. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for this great word, Father. Father, that we soak it in and listen to it and study more your word, Father, like the Bereans did. Thank you for these great examples that you put into this word, Father. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.